Today's Shein the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Lamed Hey. We're going to remind ourselves that at the end of yesterday's Shir, we had a statement from Shmuel. This was towards the very bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, where Shmuel had made his statement that says, V'chulon, all of these women that we had discussed in the Mishnah in regards to the din of Havchana, they have to wait 3 months after they are released from the marriage from their first husband, either from death or divorce or whatever the situation may have been, and they have a new husband, so there has to be a 3 month waiting period between them having relations between the two men, because of the concern we won't know who the father of the child is. Maybe the child is really from the first husband, maybe the child is from the second husband, and after a 3 month period of time, we can guarantee that it's no longer from the first husband, because usually after 3 months of pregnancy, a woman would be recognizable that she was pregnant, and therefore she can marry the second husband and not have any concern that this still is a child from the first husband. This has ramifications in every scenario, but certainly has very much specific ramifications in Yibam, which we'll discuss more in later today's shir as we begin the fourth parak later in the shir. So Shmuel had said in that situation that all women require this 3 month havchana period of time, with the exception, he said, of a gioris or mushuchreches, a girl who had converted or had been freed when she was a katana, and everything else did require the havchana except for that. And we had explained that shita yesterday, and now we have an alternative version of what Shmuel had said. There's a second version, which will pick up 6 lines from the top of Lamed Hei Omen Aleph with the words Lishna Achrina. So a second version of what Shmuel said, Lishna Achrina, is as follows. Amri Le, they said about Shmuel as follows. Amar Shmuel, Kulan Tzrichin Lahamtin Shlosha Chodoshim. Everybody has to wait this 3 month Havchana period of time, with the exception of the Chutz Migioris Mishuchweres, except of the girl who converts, or the girl who is a Shivcha Kenanis and now becomes a equivalent of a Giori, she becomes a full-fledged Yiddish girl. But here, not Kitana, but Gedola. When these women convert, when they are Gedola, they don't require the Havchana period of time. Everybody else does. Avo, the implication of that is, it was only referring to a Gedola, that is, a Gaisha girl, who converts or becomes a Shivcha Mechukweres. However, a Avo Kitana Bas Yisrael, but a girl who is a Jewish girl, who is of the age of, she is a katana, that she can't have given birth, it's impossible physiologically for her to have had a child. So, Eina Tzrich L'Hamtim Shlosh Chodoshim. When she was a katana, she doesn't need to wait 3 month period of time going from one situation to another situation where she could potentially have had a different father. But since she's a katana, she can't give birth, and there's no reason to be concerned. Eina Tzrich L'Hamtim Shlosh Chodoshim. Shul says, for a Kitana Yisrael, in this scenario, as opposed to in yesterday's scenario, here he says the Kitana Bas Yisrael doesn't have to wait. Now, what are we dealing with? B'mai. If we're dealing with Ibn Miyun, if we're dealing with that she had a Kiddushim Dirabbanan, and therefore she's only married on a Dirabbanan level, let's say her father never had passed away, and her mother or older brothers married her off, or even if her father had married her off, and then she'd gotten divorced, so on a Daraisa level, she was married by her father the first time, and then she got divorced, she's divorced on a Daraisa level, so now her father can only marry her Kiddushi Dirabbanan. In any event, she's a Yisom B'chayovi in that situation, she's married Kiddushi Dirabbanan. So now, in that situation, if she wants to walk away from such a marriage, she can, during the process of miyun. So if we're dealing here that she did miyun from her first husband, so already Shmuel told us this then. Ha'amr Shmuel chol d'zimna. He already taught this to us, that in this situation, she doesn't require the havchana, as opposed to if her kiddushei d'rabbanan husband had divorced her with a geti, but yet also ha'amr Shmuel d'baya, that Shmuel had said that she does in fact need the Havchana period of time in that situation. Where do we see this? The Shmuel said this. The Yom Shmuel, Shmuel had said, Mi'anabo, if she had done Mi'an with her husband, she doesn't need a 3 month Havchana period of time. But, Nosan lo get, if the husband had given her a get, so Tzvich Lamtim Shlosh Kodashim. So obviously, this can't be that it's a carte blanche rule that Ketana Bas Yisrael doesn't have to have the Havchana. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. So the Gemara says, what Shmuel is referring to over here is Ela Biznus, Rachmana Litzlan. If she had had an illicit relationship, if she had an immoral relationship with somebody, not through marriage, Derabbanan, so then, in that situation, Shmuel says that this Kitana doesn't require Havchana. Usnus Bikitana Lo Shriach, since Znus, to have an illicit relationship with a young girl, is so unusual, so therefore the rabbis were not Gozer. This whole thing is Xer Derabbanan. The rabbis are not Gozer on something that is not Shriach. Usnus Bikitana Lo Shriach, and therefore the rabbis don't make a gzera in this situation. Shmuel says, so Gioret Umushuchreres, the Shriach Buznus Ligzar. So then why don't we make such a gzera? If you're telling me it's only because by the Ketana Yisraelis that we don't make gzera, is because Znus is not Shriach, by the Gioris and the Mushuchreres, where it is Shriach that they have immoral relationships. Their level of tznius, their level of what is considered appropriate and not appropriate, is quite different for the Gioret and the Meshuchereres than it is for a Jewish girl. So then we should make, in that situation, a gzera that we shouldn't allow any of them to go and convert, or when they become freed, that they should be able to not have a havchana period of time. Why does Shmuel say that they don't need to wait? The kulin tzrichos lahamtin chutz migiyoros meshuchareres gedola. His nus is shliach. So why didn't the rabbis make a gzera? So Gemara says, because Shmuel holds who the omek Rav Yosi, the Tanya. He holds like the opinion of Rav Yosi in the following brisa. What does this brisa say? Hagiyoros vashvuya vashivcha. If you have a woman who converts, or you have a woman Nebuch that was captured, a Jewish woman that was captured, or you have this shivcha that was freed, in all of these situations, the Braisa states, Rav Yossi says, it's the Braisa Kisubos, tzrichos lahamtin shlosh chadoshim. You do have to wait the 3 months. Divri Rav Yehuda, that's the opinion of Yehuda. But Rav Yossi holds matir le'oreis v'linosim yad. Rav Yossi holds you don't require the avchana period of time. We'll see in a moment why not. And therefore, Shmuel holds like this tanoic opinion of Rav Yossi, as opposed to the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that is gozer in this situation. Now, Amar Rabba, Rabba explains, in my time with Rav Yossi, what was the reasoning of Rav Yossi over here to say that these women, the woman, she was Niftu, she Niskayru, she Nishtakru, don't require Havchana. My time, the Rav Yossi, so he holds, Kisava Rav Yossi, as well as Shmuel, they hold Isha Mezana. If a woman does such immoral things, that she's going to be Mezana, so Mishamesh is Bimo, she's going to use contraception, she's going to put some sort of a material inside of her to absorb the Zera of the man, and therefore she won't become pregnant. This would be somewhat the equivalent of the contraceptive sponge. So a woman would put something inside of her to soak up the zera from the man and won't become pregnant. So a woman who engages in such relationships is not going to become pregnant. And therefore, that's why the rabbis did not make a gzera according to Rav Yossi. According to Rav Yehuda, they were concerned, nevertheless, and therefore they made such a gzera. Now, this moch is kadesh lo tisaber, doesn't allow her to go and get pregnant. So this is what Rabba says in explanation of Rav Yossi, and Shmuel holds like this opinion of Rav Yossi. Amar Abaye says to his Rebbe, Rabba, Bishlomo Gioris, I can understand the Gioris in this situation, that she knows she's going to convert, and therefore she wants to be mavchin between the holy Zera of the Yid that she would become married to, and the Zera of the guy, and therefore she will make sure that she uses this moch, kidesh lo tisaber. Given the daito liyigau yuyei, minatru nafshot, she knows she's going to convert. She's been undergoing a conversion process for the last year or two to understand what Yiddishkeit is about. We don't look for gerim, and we try to discourage gerim, but if somebody is truly interested in becoming a ger or a giyoret, so then we have an educational process. They have to learn the mitzvos a little bit. They have to learn what it means to be a yid, and make sure that they understand this. So therefore, she knows she's going to be converting. She has a date set. Next Tuesday, she's going to go and become a giyoret. So if she has an immoral relationship now, she's certainly going to make sure that she doesn't become pregnant from it. So she'll know, is the seed that would be inside of her that would impregnate her, is it a holy seed or is it not a holy seed? And therefore, she'll be careful in this situation to protect herself. Similarly, the shivuya, the woman who Nebuch has been captured, a Yiddish woman who's been captured, and sometimes she is raped, assaulted, so she also knows that in this situation, they're planning on redeeming her. They're planning on taking the ransom money for her, and they're going to return her. So she hears the guard saying, next week you're going back. So if she does engage in immorally relations with her captors, either through to try to protect herself or because she has Stockholm syndrome and she's associating with them. And likewise, the Shivcha Nami, she hears her master saying, oh, you've been a good Shivcha, and I'm going to free you next week. So in these situations, she knows she's going back because, as I mentioned, the Shomei Mimarayu or Menatri Nafshayu, she hears from her masters, the captors, or the owner that they're planning on releasing her, and therefore she's going to protect herself also and use this moch and make sure she doesn't get pregnant. L'havchin bein zera kedusha and bein zera shelo b'kedusha. So Ella, that would be fine for all of these situations. But what about yotzis b'sheva ayin? We have a rule that a shivcha goes out, an eved goes out if they're losing their tooth or they're losing their eye. If an accident occurs, so this is also a situation where they go free. This is known as the din of shein v'ayin. So here, you have no idea that you're about to lose a shein, you're allowed to be using ayin, so why aren't we concerned in this situation, that they, in this situation, would not have used the moch, and therefore, why don't they need to have chana period of time in shein v'ayin? you're going to tell me v'chitema called Mimela, Moda Rav Yossi. You're going to tell me, oh, in this situation of Shein Vayin, even Rav Yossi would be Moda to Rav Yehuda, that you have to go and wait a 3-month period of time. But that's not true, because now we have the Girsa of Yotnan. But the Mesoros HaShas says this should really be V'atanya. It says in the Braisa, Anusa Umefuta, if a woman had a rape, Rachmona Lassan, or a seduction, she had an illicit relationship, Tzrich Lahamtin Shlosha Chadashim. The Rav Yehuda says in that situation, she has to wait the 3-month period of time, the Havchana period of time. Rav Yehuda Lushitasu, he says you have to wait when you're concerned that maybe you're not going to know who the father is. However, even in that situation, where it's an anuso mufuta, Rav Yossi matirli oris filinos miyad. Rav Yossi, in that situation, also says that she doesn't need to wait the 3-month period of time. Now, this situation is similar to Yotzei's b'shein v'ayin. She has no idea, an anuso or mufuta, that she's going to have a different person to be with a week from now, and that she's going to need to be mavchin being kedusha of one person versus the kedusha of another person, and therefore, Rav Yossi, why is he allowing her to be la'orei solinos miyad? Why can't she get married right away? How come there's no havchana period of time? If you say that any situation where she doesn't anticipate or know that she's going to become freed, then there is havchana period of time, so then this changes that. This here should be also that a woman who is an anus or mafuta, just like Shein V'ayin, should require. Yet Rav Yossi doesn't make such a distinction. Elo, what's the reasoning? Elo Amabaya. Abaya says the reasoning is not that she knows that she's going to be freed and therefore she uses a moch. Elo, Isha Mazana, in general, any woman that commits an act of znus, mishapeches shalotis abeirah, she didn't put in a moch, so she's going to make various movements, she's going to make various types of motions in her body to go make sure that the zera spills out of her body and doesn't potentially impregnate her. Again, from a physiologic point of view, I'm not sure how this would actually work. We don't understand how a woman could not become pregnant after she had relations. Once the zera is inside of her, even if she were to try to expel the zera from her by moving her body in certain ways to have the zera leave her body, so I think there's still a chance that she could easily get pregnant in that situation. So we're not sure exactly how this works from a physiological point of view, but Abaye says any woman who is involved in an illicit relationship, and this would include the woman Shein V'ayin and the Anusa and the Mefuta, according to Rav Yossi, even these women who may not have used the moch, so they would be mishafeches, they would move about their body to expel the zera, and therefore won't become pregnant. And therefore, that's why Rav Yossi says you don't need to have chana period of time. No, why does Rav Yehuda say you do? V'idach, doesn't he agree that Isha Mazana is going to do these motions? So maybe he should also agree with Rav Yossi that she shouldn't need to have chana period of time. So Rav Yehuda says, no, chayshida, we're concerned. Shemalon is havcha yofa yofa. Guess what? This doesn't work all the time. Or she's not going to be careful with it. And therefore, if she doesn't do this havcha very, very well, so then she will become pregnant. And therefore, Rav Yehuda says you need to wait the 3-month period of time. Okay, so this explains the second understanding of Shmuel. Now we go back to the last part of the Mishnah where we had said, Vimayo Kohanos V'chule, so we had two different gears. One was Nivsula Min HaTruma or Nivsula Min HaKohuna. This woman, who are seemingly the word Kohanos, implies that they are the daughters of a Kohen, so if they were to get married, so then they would not be able to go back and eat Truma, or they would be not able to go back and marry a Kohen. Now, where it says, Kohanos in Yisrael is slow, this implies only if they were the daughters of a Kohen that they wouldn't be able to go back. But the daughters of Yisrael that married a Kohen, if they had this Rachmana Litzlan mix-up and they committed what is ultimately Znus, they committed adultery, even though it was unintentional, so they would be allowed to go back? That doesn't seem to be right. The din is that they're not allowed to go back. So the Gemara says, you're right, Ema, read it, Ema Yunishe Kohanim. It's not only talking about women who are the children of Kohanim and married a Kohen, but even a Yisraelis who married a Kohen, so they would be possible to Truma, and they would not be allowed to go marry a Kohen if they got divorced from this new husband, so they wouldn't be allowed to go marry a Kohen. They would be considered psula to marry a Kohen. And therefore, don't read this as Kohanos, but read this as Neshei HaKohanim. So Gemara says, Neshei Kohanim in, Neshei Yisraelim lo, it's only the wives of a Kohen if they married a Kohen, so then they're not allowed to go back and eat Truma, and they're not allowed to go and marry a Kohen. But if they were Nishay Yisraelim, if the daughter of a Kohen were to go marry a Yisrael, then she would be allowed to go back. She wouldn't be Psula Lekuhuna. Lomar of Amram, Hamil's Amalon Roshashis, Roshashis taught us this din, the Anharinu La'ainin Mimasnisin, and he opened up our eyes. He showed us the true understanding of our Mishnah. And it said, Eishes Yisrael Shenensa. If the wife of Yisrael, Nebuch, had this nus, like in the situation of our Mishnah, where she inadvertently committed adultery, so she is allowed to stay to her husband. What the din is that if a Kohen's wife, Rachman al-Islam, is assaulted, to the Nebuch, the Kohen has to divorce his wife. But if Yisrael's wife is assaulted, she has, without intention, unwillingly, she has relations with somebody else. So then, whether it was a situation of huchlufu, like in our Mishnah, that they got mixed up by accident, or she was Rachman al-Islam assaulted, so then the Yisrael was allowed to stay married to his wife. So Ava Pisha Muteras Labala, she could stay married to her wife, nevertheless, Pesula Kahuna. Such a woman who was once raped or assaulted had an adulterous relationship, albeit totally unintentional and totally involuntarily. So if she were to ever not be married to her Yisrael husband, she would be Pesula Lakuna. Let's say her husband died, so she's a widow, she'd only be allowed to go marry a Kohen. But here, since she had once been Nebuch assaulted, so she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. Pesula l'kohuna. So why are you saying in a Mishnah, either Kohanos, or only limiting it to Nishei Kohanim? This is true even for Nishei Yisraelim, a regular girl who goes and marries a Yisrael, and Nebuch is raped, so she's then, if she no longer is married to that Yisrael, he dies, she's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So why in this situation are we saying that this din only applies to either Kohanos or Nishei Kohanim? It applies even to Nishei Yisraelim. So Rava explains what the words in the Mishnah really mean when it says Kohanos. Amar Rava, Rava says, Hochikamar, Imayu Kohanos, if they were originally the daughters of Kohanim and they married a Yisrael, Nesuos Yisrael, Heter Gomer, to have such a marriage, but then Nebuch, if they're assaulted, so then even these women, if their husband dies and they die childless, so the normal situation is Bas Kohen, if she marries Yisrael, so from that point onward, she's no longer allowed to eat Truma. If she has children, so then forever she's not allowed to eat Truma because her children are Yisraelim, and she's going by the children. But let's say her husband dies and she never had children, so then she reverts back to Beis Aviyah, and she's allowed to now go and eat Truma again. That's assuming she wasn't assaulted. But Rachmona Litzlan, if such a Bas Kohen had been assaulted while she's married to a Yisrael, so she's allowed to stay in that marriage with Yisrael, but Nebuch, after that Yisrael dies, while she's Choseres Lebeis Aviyah, she goes back to her father's house, but nevertheless in this situation, Imayu Kohanos Nesuos LeYisrael, and Nebuch, she was assaulted, Nifsulu Ben HaTruma Devein HaShayu. Then they're not allowed to go eat Truma back in their father's house, and certainly they're not allowed to go and marry a Kohen, either Girsa that we had, Nifsulu Ben HaTruma, or Nifsulu Mina Kahuna, so she, in that situation, can no longer eat Truma back in her father's house, and she would not be allowed to go and marry a Kohen. That's how you have to understand the word Kohanos in our Mishnah. With this, we conclude the beautiful third parak. Hadron Alecha Arba Achen, Hadron Alecha Arba Achen, Hadron Alecha Arba Achen, and we turn to Lamed Hey Omud Beis, and we begin the fourth parak. Now, this fourth parak deals a lot with Havchana, as I had alluded to, and we begin with the Mishnah. Very top of the Omud. The Mishnah tells us, Hacholetz liyavimto, if a person gives chalitza to his yavama that falls to him. So again, Reuven Nebuch passes away, and his wife Rachel falls to Shimon, and Shimon gives chalitza to her. However, when Shimon gave chalitza to Rachel, he thought that she was not pregnant. V'nimseis me'uberes. And then it turns out that she in fact was pregnant. He gave her chalitza right after Nebuch the funeral. The week after the Shiva, he goes and gives her chalitza. Reuven had died seemingly with no children, and therefore she fell in Yibum to Shimon. He did the right thing, and he gave her chalitza, but then it turns out that she was pregnant. V'nimseis me'uberes. And then, in fact, the pregnancy goes to term, v'yolda, and she gives birth. So, Bizman Shavlan Shokayama, if this child is a viable child, in other words, it lives more than 30 days after the birth of the child, or it's clear, even if the child never dies in the first 30 days, it was hit by a truck with Chaman al-Itzlan, so this child certainly was a Vlad Shokayama, so then the chalitza, in retrospect, was totally unnecessary. It doesn't count at all as anything, and therefore, who motor bekrovosel? Shimon would be allowed to go and marry her mother, her other krovim. He would be allowed to be permitted to go marry any of her relatives. Normally, midrabanan, we don't allow a person to marry any of the relatives of a chalutza. We treat it just like the relatives of a gerusha, and you're not allowed to marry, if a person divorces his wife, he's not allowed to go marry her mother, he's not allowed to go and marry her sister, etc. So we normally say all the krovim that a gerusha, they're not allowed to go and have marriage both ways. The man with his grusha's relatives, and the grusha with her former husband's relatives. So in this situation, normally with the chalitza, the same dinim apply me the rabbanon. Here, however, since the chalitza did not really need to be done because she in fact had a viable child that was born, so bisman shavlat shokayama, who mutar b'korbas, the one who did chalitza, Shimon, is permitted to marry all of Rachel's relatives, and vice versa, the he Rachel mutaris b'korbas is allowed to go and marry any of Shimon's relatives that aren't also to her because of Reuven. Obviously, she can't marry Shimon's father because that's also Reuven's father. But any relatives that she would have been allowed to marry of Shimon, so in that situation, she would be allowed to, even though she had gotten chalitza from Shimon, because that chalitza was totally unnecessary. And likewise, she's not considered chalutza, that midrabban is not allowed to marry a kohen. So here she's a widow of Reuven. She's not considered now a chalutza because she gave birth to a viable child, a lo psalim and akuna. And she is, in this situation, also permitted to go and marry a kohen. Tosos, in the top Tosos of Yacholetz, asks, why did we say in this situation she finds out the nimtzeis meuberes? Why didn't we give the terminology that we'll see later in the Gemara that she actually underwent the chalitza while she was already pregnant, known to be pregnant? The Gemara is going to say, Mishum deravusahi, this is a chiddush over here. The afagav the lo haya ubra nikar bishas chalitza, even in this situation when it wasn't evident that she was pregnant, the nearest chalitza, and therefore it appears that a chalitza is ma'ula, is a perfectly good chalitza, because nobody realized she was pregnant, including herself. Nevertheless, afilu, hachi, even in this situation, lo pasla, she's not going to be forbidden to marry his relatives, and it's not pasla kahuna. As long as, bisman shavlat shokayama, as long as the child ultimately is a viable child that's born. And Tosus goes on and says further additional reasons, but that just explains why we use the lashon over here, nimtzeis meuberes, as opposed to later on we'll say meuberes. Okay, that's the first section of the Mishnah. That's if the Vlad is a Vlad Shokayama. But, ain't a Vlad Shokayama. She did, in fact, subsequently have a pregnancy that wasn't recognized originally. So she got the Chalitza a week after Nebuch, the death of her husband. And then she's noticed to be pregnant a week or two later, a month later, whatever. And then the Vlad Nebuch doesn't make it to term. Ain't a Vlad Shokayama. Either the child is Nebuch miscarried, or the child is born, but the child can't live for 30 days. Nebuch is born with some horrible condition, or just Nebuch is a very weak child and dies before 30 days. So therefore, Reuven never had Zerah Shel Kayama. In that situation, she actually is Mechuyevis to still undergo Yibum or Chalitza. But she already had Chalitza. So in this situation, the Chalitza is a valid Chalitza. And who also becroves her? Shimon is not allowed to marry any of Rachel's Krovim because he is did chalitza with her, and therefore chalitza is like a grusha in terms of the midrabanan. He's not allowed to marry her relatives, and likewise, Rachel v'hi asura b'krovav. She's not allowed to marry any of his relatives that she normally would have been allowed to marry if it wasn't for the fact that she underwent chalitza with him. And in this situation as well, she's considered a chalutza upsola min hakuna. She can't go and marry a kohen. So these are the two flip sides over here in Vlad Shokayama, in Vlad that is not Shokayama. Fine. Next, Hakone says Yivimto, if he did Yibim with her, instead of doing Chalitza with her, he did Yibim with her. And then, Vinim says Muberes, the older. And then it turns out that she, in fact, was pregnant, and then she gives birth to a viable child. So again, Bisman Shavlat Shokayama, if the child is, in fact, a viable child, lives past 30 days, or even if he dies within 30-day period of time, it was clear that he was a viable child based upon the physical circumstances. So then, this Shimon is not allowed to continue being married to her in Yibam because it was an inappropriate, immoral, illicit Yibam, because it wasn't Eishasach that didn't have children. It was Eishasach Shalom B'Malka Mitzvah. While they originally had good intentions to do Yibam, but she was pregnant and she ultimately did give birth. So Reuven did have a viable child, and therefore this is an Isser of Eishasach, and therefore Yotzi, he's obviously not allowed to stay married to her. And the Chayav Mekarbet, and since they in fact had a relationship, there was an Issa Kares of Eishasach, albeit unintentional, so therefore they have to each bring a carbon chartas for this illicit relationship. And then the mission continues. However, Vim Ein Vlad Shokayama, in fact, she did become pregnant from her husband Reuven, but the child either miscarries or is never viable. It was born live, but Nebuch died within the first 30 days, so clearly it wasn't a Vlad Shokayama. So in retrospect, this pregnancy was not going to make Reuven have children. And therefore, this is Eishes Ach B'Malko Mitzvah, so then the Yibam that he did was a good Yibam, and Yikayim, he's allowed to go and keep his wife. We'll have the discussion what this word Yikayim means, or is Yotzi, what this means. This will be a machlokas of the more between Reish Lakish and Rav Yochanan, but for now we'll just say she's allowed to go and stay married to Shimon. They in fact did not do any Aveira, and therefore Yibam is in fact allowed, and she is allowed to stay married to Shimon. However, what happens if it's Sofek ben Tishol or Rishon, Sofek ben Shimon Achron? She now gives birth to a child, but Rachel's not sure. Is this a seven-month pregnancy from her new husband? Again, we had mentioned the other day that in the times of the Gemara, there were two time periods for a normal pregnancy. There was a seven-month normal pregnancy, not premature, and a nine-month normal pregnancy. So we're not sure now if she gives birth 2.5 months after her marriage to Shimon, so we're not sure. Now she gives birth to a child 7 months later. Is this a 7 month pregnancy to her new husband Shimon, or is this a 9 month pregnancy from her old husband Reuven? So in this situation, what do we do? So Yotzi, she can't stay married because maybe, in fact, Reuven had a viable child, and therefore this would be an illicit relationship with Shimon. This would be Eishes Ach, Shelo B'Malkah Mitzvah. So she can't stay married to Shimon. However, by Vlad Kosher, Mimon Shoch, as Rashi says, the Vlad is definitely going to be a 100% kosher child. Because if this, in fact, is from Reuven, so then this is Reuven's son. And if, in fact, it's not from Reuven, it's from Shimon, so then this is Shimon's legitimate son. Because then Yibam was allowed. So therefore, the child is definitely kosher. However, both Shimon and Rachel have to bring an Ashim Tolu, Vachayovim Ashim Tolu, because maybe they were over the Isser of Eishes Ach, maybe they were not. So in that situation, when you're not sure, did you or did you not do an Aveira of Kares, that you would be Chayav Akatas if you did it accidentally, which is what happened over here. So they bring an Ashim Tolu until they can figure out what the situation really is. Okay, that's our Mishnah. It said a lot, and now we're going to analyze the Mishnah much more closely. So the Gemara says, Itmar, or said in the base medrash, hacholeitz the muberes v'yipila. If a person did a chalitza to a woman who absolutely was known to be pregnant, these were Tosus and the top Tosus, they pointed out, Gemara uses the lashon of he did chalitza to a woman who was known to be pregnant. Why he did this, they didn't know. So they thought that, well, he didn't have any children yet, so they thought they were allowed to do chalitza. So he did a chalitza to this muberes v'yipila, and then she subsequently, it's not a vlad shel kayama, she miscarries. So in retrospect, she does in fact require yibum v'chalitza. But the yibum or the chalitza here that we're talking about was done while she still was pregnant. So this is machlokes Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan Amar, ein tzricha chalitza menachem. She doesn't need require a new chalitza. In retrospect, her pregnancy was not a vlad shel kayama. So in retrospect, she did need to have chalitza done to her. And a chalitza was done to her, albeit she was pregnant. Rabbi Yochanan says that doesn't impact anything. She doesn't need a tzricha chalitza min achim. She doesn't need a chalitza from the achim. The Mepharshim discuss, when it says min achim, does that include Shimon? Or does it mean from Levi and Yehuda, the other brothers? So the simple understanding, which leave it nice and simple, is she doesn't need a new chalitza from any one of the achim, whether it be Shimon again, or Levi or Yehuda for the first time. Her chalitza originally from Shimon works. That's Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. Reish Lakish disagrees. Reish Lakish Amar, Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achim. No, in fact, she does need a new Chalitza. Again, we'll learn it nice and simple, from any of the Achim again, even from Shimon, because her original Chalitza from Shimon didn't apply. It didn't work. Why? Because she was pregnant. And you cannot do, according to Reish Lakish, Yibam Chalitza on a pregnant woman. Now, let's understand these two shitas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Eino Tzricha Chalitza Min Ha'achim. He says that the Chalitza that originally was done while she was pregnant, Shimon did Chalitza to Reuven's wife, Rachel, while she was known to be pregnant. And then the pregnancy doesn't go through, so even though she ultimately is a considered over here at Eishes Ach, Shebamalka Mitzvah, and she needs Yibam Chalitza, so Rabbi Yochanan says, even though she was pregnant, it works. Chalitzas Meuberet Shmo Chalitza. This is a perfectly good Chalitza. And even Ubias Meuberet Shmo Bia. And even if they had underwent Yibam while she's pregnant, which you should not have done, but they did it, and then she miscarries, so then in that situation, this Yibam is a perfectly valid Yibam. Rav Yochanan's opinion is, if ultimately the Vlad is not a Vlad Shel Kayama, so this woman, Rachel, is in fact requiring Yibam or Chalitza, and if Shimon did with her Yibam or Chalitza, it's a valid Yibam or Chalitza. Reish Lakish totally disagrees. Reish Lakish Amar, Tzricha Chalitza Min Achim. No, she requires a new Chalitza in this situation, or if Yibam was done, so then she's going to require a new Yibam. Chalitza Smuberes Lo Shmo Chalitza, and Ubias Smuberes Lo Shmo Bia. Reish Lakish's opinion is that nothing that you do to her while she's pregnant works, neither Chalitza and not even Yibam. And in this situation, she would require, quote, a new Yibam from Shimon. This would have to be from Shimon, because she actually did have relations with Shimon. So now Levi and Yehuda are not allowed to have relations with her. Here, Minachim would mean she'd have to have a new L'shem Yibum relationship. If at this point in time, Shimon said, no, I'm going to give her a get, the get won't possible it. We don't consider her as if she's married to Shimon. She would require a brand new Yibum. So again, Rav Yochanan says that she undergoes Chalitz or Yibam while she's pregnant and the pregnancy doesn't go through, it's not a Vlad Shel Kayama, so then the Yibam or Chalitz in retrospect are perfectly valid. And Rish Lakish says the exact opposite. Rish Lakish says, no, even though it's a Vlad that is not Shel Kayama, the Yibam or Chalitz that she had while she was pregnant, that does nothing, and she has to repeat them. She has to have a new Yibam or a new Chalitza. If it's Yibam, it has to be with Shimon. If it's Chalitza, Mistama could be from any of the brothers. Now, but my komiflegi, what's the underlying dispute here between Riyoch and Rish Lakish? So either Yiboy say Makra, Yiboy say Maswara. Either we say it's based upon a Pasuk, or we can say it's based upon a Swara. Since Swara is dear to us, we first give the answer for the Swara. Yiboy say Maswara, a logical deduction over here, Riyoch and Swara, his opinion that Im Yavo Elio, if Elio Anavi were to have come and told us the Yomar, if Eliyahu HaNavi had come and told us, guess what? I can guarantee you, through Nevuah, that this pregnancy is not a Vlad Shel Kayama. The Abra, that she is pregnant, Mapuli Mapla, is going to be a miscarriage. So wouldn't we have listened to Eliyahu HaNavi? Wouldn't we have obviously listened to Eliyahu HaNavi and said that this woman is Mila Bas Chalitza V'Yibam Hi, that Rachel is requiring Chalitza V'Yibam? The fact that she's pregnant, I'm guaranteeing you that pregnancy is not a Vlad Shel Kayama. So in this situation, she would undergo Chalitza Yibam. So therefore, if Eliyahu HaNavi had told us this beforehand, we would allow it. So Hashtanami. So after the fact, Tigali Bilsalim Afreya. Now we know it's as if Eliyahu would come along and said that this is not a valid pregnancy because in fact she didn't have a Vlad Shel Kayama. So Yochan says, therefore, the Yibam or the Chalitza is actually good. And Rish Lakish says, no, doesn't work that way. Rish Lakish Amar, Tigale Milsalim Afreya. The fact that we should retroactively say, now that pregnancy is not a Vlad Shel Kayama, it wasn't a valid pregnancy at that point in time. We don't say that, Lo Amrina. In fact, she was pregnant then, and any Yibam or Chalitza is not going to be effective on a woman who is pregnant. That's the Machlokas between Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. That's the Svara. B'boy say Makra. Or you can say it's based upon actual taich of the Pasuk. Rav Yochanan Sava, the Pasuk says, Uvein, Ein, Lo. We had this drasha previously. Instead of saying the word Ein without a Yod, it spelled it out complete with a Yod in there, and therefore we darsh it from the Yod, Amar Rechmona, V'ha, Lesle. The Pasuk says, in this situation, you have to check out and see that she doesn't have a child. And she doesn't have a child. So Reuven never had a child. And therefore, Reuven died childless. Aisha was pregnant at the time, but we checked it out. And now we see that it's not a Vlad Shel Kayama. Whereas Reish Lakish says, Reish Lakish of our Uvein Ein Lo means Ein Alov. No, he darshens that Yud in the word Ein, and he says, check it out. She has to have no Vlad at that time. Here, this woman is pregnant, and therefore, it is considered like she does have a Vlad at that point in time, and therefore, Yibam and Chalitza are not able to work, even though subsequently she miscarries. Now we're going to have a series of questions that Yochanan asked to Reish Lakish, or Reish Lakish asked to Rav Yochanan. The first one is from Yochanan to Reish Lakish. Eisvei, Rav Yochanan to Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan asked to Reish Lakish, look at the gears over here. It says, Ein HaVlad Shel Kayama in the Mishnah. It said, if the Vlad is not a Vlad Shel Kayama, so in that situation, in retrospect, her Chalitza was a good Chalitza. The first part of the Mishnah said, if Chalitza was done, albeit in the Mishnah, we didn't know she was pregnant, but then we subsequently find out she was pregnant. So then the Chalitza occurred while she was pregnant. But the Vlad is not a Vlad Shel Kayama. She miscarries or the child dies after it's born, before 30 days. It's not a Vlad Shel Kayama. Nevertheless, the Chalitza is a good Chalitza, because look what the Mishnah said. Who also b'krovosel? Shimon is not allowed to have marriage with any of the relatives of his Chalutza, Rachel. Clearly you see that it was a good Chalitza. The Asura b'krovav, and Rachel is not allowed to marry any of the relatives of Shimon that she normally would be allowed to still marry, because it's now a good Chalitza. And Upsala Minakuna, and she's considered a Chalutza, and she's not allowed to go and marry a Kohen. Now, that works out, Rabbi Yochanan says, very well according to me. Bishlomo Didi, Damira, Damina, Chalitza, Smu, Bereshmo, Chalitza. So I hold that Chalitza she underwent is a good Chalitza, even though she was pregnant. Oh, that's why. She's not allowed to marry his relatives, he's not allowed to marry her relatives, and she's not allowed to marry Kohen, because she's a Chalutza. It's a good Chalitza. Mishumachi Psala. That's why she's Psula Lakuna. It's not a valid Chalitza, so the Amr is Chalitza, Smober is Loshmo Chalitza, Amai Psalim and Akuna. You hold that it's not a valid Chalitza, so then she should be allowed to marry a Kohen. Or, if in this situation, she undergoes Yibam, so that should be perfectly acceptable. Why are you saying that she's now a Chalitza? Oh, must be that I'm right and you're wrong. So Rish Lakish says, no, that's not right. Amalei. Reish Lakish says to Rav Yochanan, that which we said, that this chalitza is considered a valid chalitza, the pasul from the kuhuna, that's a din derabanan, midirabanan, uluchum Rabbi Amma. This is so people shouldn't say, oh, a woman can undergo chalitza, and yet she can still go marry his maternal brother. He can go and marry somebody that she normally would be not allowed to marry if there was a real chalitza relationship with Shimon, so she couldn't marry Shimon's relatives if she was a real chalitza. Oh, people can say, you see, that she was a chalitza, and yet she is allowed to marry. So the din of chalitza, like a grusha, doesn't really apply. This din derabbanan, chalitza is not really true. So it could lead to a mistake. So therefore, Reish Lakish says, midirabbanan, we count this chalitza as if it was a valid chalitza. However, it's not really a valid chalitza, it's only a chumra derabbanan that we should consider her like a chalutza, and that's why she psula l'kuhuna. That's version number one, that it was Rabbi Yochanan that asked from our Mishnah on Reish Lakish. Version number two, he could the army, it was the other way around. Ace of Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish is the one that questioned Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah. It said, in a situation where Shimon did chalitza to Rachel, and then it subsequently found out she was pregnant, but ain't a Vlad shel kayama, the Vlad is miscarried, it's not a viable child, so nevertheless, the Mishnah said, who also b'krova se'ah, v'yesur b'krovav, u'psol menakuna. It said all of these things apply. Rachel is not allowed to marry any of Shimon's relatives that she otherwise would be allowed to marry if she wasn't his chalutza. Shimon is not allowed to marry any of her relatives, and she's psula l'kuhuna. She's not allowed to marry a kohen because she's like a chalutza. Now, Reish Lakish says everything works out well according to me. Bishlam l'didi, according to me, that mean a chalitza smuberes lo shmo chalitza. According to my opinion, that such a chalitza doesn't work, so how come over here she's psula l'kuhuna? Haidu diktani, pasulim in a kohuna. That's why Badafka uses the lashon here that she's psulim in a kohuna, because as we just pointed out, this is a chumra dirabanan. And it didn't say, v'loktani, ein atzrich chalitza min achim. According to you, Rabbi Yochanan, it should have said, she doesn't require any of the chalitza min achim. It didn't say that in the Mishnah. In fact, she still requires chalitza min achim because this chalitza wasn't good. But it just wanted to teach us this din, midirabanan, l'chumra, that she's psulim in a kohuna. But it doesn't mention that she still requires chalitza in the hakam, because of course she does, because it wasn't a good chalitza. Elo l'didach, going to you, what it should have said is, ein atzricha chalitza in the hakam iboile. That's what it should have said. The fact that it doesn't say that, so therefore you're wrong, your sheet is wrong, Rav Yochanan, and in fact it's not a good chalitza. So how does Rav Yochanan respond to that? Amalei says to Reish Lakish, ein achanami, I agree with you 100%. However, but I did the tana reisha, lo psala, tana seifa psala. Yes, it should have said over here that she doesn't require chalitza and achim. However, it didn't tell us that because it kept parallelism. In the Reisha, it said, in the Reisha, if I did the Tana Reisha, lo psala, that she's not psula kahuna, because, in fact, this was a vlad shel kayama, and there were never a chalitza there to start off with, so since it used that lashon of lo psala in the Reisha, it uses the same lashon, Tana Seifa psala, that she is psula kahuna in the Seifa, because, in fact, this was ain't a vlad shel kayama. So therefore, the chalitza is a good chalitza. It uses that lashon. And of course, she doesn't need tzricha chalitza min achim. That, it didn't have to tell us, again, for parallelism, it didn't tell us the bigger chiddush, but it kept for parallelism just the idea of psala or lo psala. So that's how Rabbi Yochanan would answer back to Reish Lakish. Try again. Esa Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan answered Reish Lakish the following question. It said in our Mishnah, ain't a vlad shel kayama yekayim. If it turns out that the vlad was not a viable child, so then the Yibam, if there was Yibam that took effect, Shimon did Yibam with Rachel. He didn't realize she was pregnant at the time. They subsequently find out she's pregnant, but then the child miscarries. So then, in that situation, Ein Avlat Shel Kayama Yikayim. He's allowed to stay married. Staying married implies that the original Yibam was good. Bishlam al Didi, according to my opinion, Rabbi Yochanan says, Tamina Chalitza is Moberish Mo Chalitza, Bias Moberish Mo Bia. I hope that even while she's pregnant, a Chalitza or a Yibam works. So then in this situation, I understand. Mishum Hochik Toni Yikayim. You're allowed to continue the marriage. It was a good Yibam marriage, and you can continue it. Yikayim. But according to you, Reish Lakish, Elul Didach, according to you, Reish Lakish, Damas Chalitza Muberes Loshmo Chalitza, Bias Muberes Loshmo Bia, that neither Yibam or Chalitza works while she's pregnant, so then you know what it should have said? It shouldn't have said Yikayim, it should have said Yachzor V'Yivol. Shimon has to go and have relations with her again, L'Shem Yibam. Oh, V'Yikayim, Miboyele. And then only after that can he be Mekayimer. But it should have said Yachzor V'Yivol, and then V'Yikayim. Why did it say just V'Yikayim? Oh, must be Rabbi Yochanan said that my opinion's right and your opinion's wrong. So Reish Lakish says, no, that's what the word Yikayim means. My Yikayim, it means Yachzor, he has to go back and have relations with Yivol V'Yikayim. The Losogi, it wouldn't be acceptable if he didn't repeat having Yibam with her. In other words, if now he wanted to say, I'll give you a get, no, the get wouldn't work because she hasn't yet undergone Yibam v'chalitza. So the Chiddush is that when it says Yikayim, it means Yachzor v'Yivol v'Yikayim because the first Yibam wasn't good. Now, Levi and Yehuda can't do Yibam because, again, Shimon already had relations with her, so he is the one that has to go give her Yibam again, and that's what it means, Yikayim, Yachzor v'Yivol v'Yikayim. Otherwise, the Losagi, it wouldn't be good any other way. That's the first version of Rav Yochanan asking to Reish Lakish. Second version was, no, it's Reish Lakish asking to Rav Yochanan. He could the Amre, it was Ezra Reish Lakish to Rav Yochanan. Reish Lakish asked this to Rav Yochanan. Our Mishnah said that if he had undergone Yibam with her, Shimon had undergone Yibam with Rachel, and then subsequently find out that she was pregnant, but ain't Evlatcho Kayama. In that situation, the child is not Evlatcho Kayama. Yikayim, they're allowed to continue with this marriage, the Yibam marriage. Now, Reish Lakish says, Bishlam of the day, according to me, it works out well. According to me, that says that any action that was done to her while she was pregnant, either Yibam or Chalitza, doesn't work. That's why it says he's allowed to stay married with her, which means Yachzor v'Yivol v'Yikayim. He can do a Bia again with her. Now they're fully married through Yibam and can stay married to her. Because the Lo Sagi Belav Halki, what it's teaching us, the Chiddush, is that without having another Yibam, it's not good. He can't give her a get. A get won't work. He can't give a chalitza. He already had relations with her. Ella l'didach, according to you, what it should have said was, Rotza Yotzi, Rotza Yikayim, Abayle. At this point in time, it should have pointed out that if he wishes to, he just has to give her a get, and they could be divorced. Or if he wishes to, he could stay with her. Why didn't it mention that aspect? Oh, must be that I'm right. It's only Yatzo Yibam V'Yikayim is an option. But he can't say that the Yibam was a good Yibam, and he could give her a get if he wants to. So what are you going to say about that, Rabbi Yochanan? So Rabbi Yochanan say, Enochanami, you're right. I agree with you. However, for parallelism, it kept the same lashon in the first part of the Mishnah, in the second part of the Mishnah. I did the Tonei Reish Yotzi, since the first part said, you go out in that situation. You don't need a get because it's a Vlatcho Kayama. You don't need anything over here because the bottom line is that in retrospect, the Chalitz or the Yibam wasn't effective. So Tonei Nami say for Yikayim. So therefore, in the second part, it says, if it was not a Vlatcho Kayama, so then in that situation, Yikayim, we lead just the Lashon of Yikayim, but we don't say that if he wishes to, Yotzi, because that's obvious. And therefore, it just for the parallel reasons, the Reish said Yotzi. So here it says Yikayim. Try again. Meisvei, here's the kasha only on Rav Yochanan. We don't have Rav Yochanan first says Reish Lakish, and then Reish Lakish returning it back to Rav Yochanan. Here, we just have a straightforward question to Rav Yochanan. Meisvei, Reish Lakish asks Rav Yochanan, Hakone says Yivim Tov, and Nimsa Mubaris, if a person does Yibam, Shimon does Yibam with Racha, and it turns out that Racha was pregnant at the time, Harezu Lo Sinase Tzarasa. So then, if there's another co-wife, that Reuven had two wives, so the co-wife of Racha, this other Tzara, she's not allowed to go and have marriage Lashuk in this situation. Why? Shema Yevlad Ben Kayama. Because maybe this child will be a Vlad Shel Kayama, and therefore she doesn't need anything. So Gemara says she doesn't need anything, so why can't she go get married? So Gemara says, either but the exact opposite. If it's a Vlad Shel Kayama, Kiavi Vlad Ben Kayama, Miftar Tzarasa, then neither Rachel nor the Tzara required anything. So you're right, that can't be the right gear. So Elaima, what this Brisa must be saying is, Shema Lo Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama, maybe this child is not going to be a Vlatcho Kayama, and therefore the Yibam with Rachel, that Shimon did Yibam with Rachel, is in fact not allowed because according to Reish Lakish, Yibam doesn't work if she's pregnant, and therefore neither Rachel or her Tzara is allowed to go get married yet Lashuk until Yibam Mechalitza is done properly. But if Rav Yochanan, you're right, Reish Lakish says that this Bia was a good Bia, even though she was pregnant, but since the Vlad is not a Vlad Shel Kayama, you, Rabbi Yochanan, say this is a good Bia, so then, Amai Loti Nasi Tzarasa, so why can't the Tzara get married? Mimonoshok, if it's a Vlad Shel Kayama, she goes off scot-free. If it's not a Vlad Shel Kayama, Yibam was done, and she should be able to be Minteris Lashok. Amai Loti Nasi Tzarasa, Tipote Bebia Shel Chaverta. Either the fact that it's a Vlad Shel Kayama, she goes off scot-free, or the Yibam over here, if it's not a Vlad Shel Kayama, should let the Tzara go off free. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan, you are wrong. And here, Taka, Rabbi Yochanan has to say, you're right. Amar Abaye says, in regards to Bibia, if their Yibam was done, the Kuli Alma, even Rav Yochanan lo pligi de lo patra, Yibam doesn't work while she's pregnant. Everybody agrees to that, even Rav Yochanan. Ki pligi be chalitza, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish only talking about chalitza. Here, Rav Yochanan saw by chalitza is moberi shmo chalitza, that a chalitza to a pregnant woman does work according to Rav Yochanan, albeit bia does not. Bia is moberi lo shmo bia. He agrees with Rish Lakish about bia, he disagrees about chalitza. Whereas Rish Lakish holds both. Rish Lakish saw by bia is moberi lo shmo bia, and chalitza is moberi lo shmo chalitza. Neither one works according to Rish Lakish, and according to Rav Yochanan, he split it up. Bia doesn't work, but chalitza does work to a pregnant woman. Only Rav says it doesn't make any sense. Manushach, either it works or it doesn't work. If you're saying that the bia works, so then the chalitza works. If the bia doesn't work, chalitza. The ha kaimala, because we actually hold and we turn to lamed vav and aleph. The two are connected. Either both Yibam and Chalitza work, or Yibam and Chalitza don't work. So this half and half sheet of Rav Yochanan isn't right. And therefore, he doesn't accept that. Elo Amar Rava. Rava says, this is what the Brice is actually telling us. If a person does Yibam, Shimon does Yibam with Rachel, and then it turns out that she was pregnant, so then the Tzar is not allowed to go get married at that time. She's not muteris l'shuk. Why? Shemo yev vlad ben kayama. If the vlad is a vlad shok kayama, ubias muberis lo shmo bia, the chalitza is muberis lo shmo bia. Rav Yochanan also fully agrees that if there's a vlad shok kayama, that the bia and the chalitza are absolutely of no value. Vavlad in opotir actually it's la v'olam. In this situation, why is not the tzar then muteris l'shuk? If it's not a vlad shok kayama, Rav Yochanan says that the bia and the chalitza would work. And the tzara will be muteris l'shuk. But if it's a vlad shel kayama, then in that situation, vavlad shel kayama, ein opotir ad sheyetzi la'avir olam, is not allowed to go and get married. The tzara can't get married until that child is actually born. It's not the fact that it's pregnant. It's only when the child is born that the tzara is muteris. Or, in fact, even Rachel, if they didn't do anything, they waited until the pregnancy was over. So then in that situation, it's only if the vlad is a vlad shel kayama. At that point in time, even chalitza aren't necessary, and everybody goes scot-free, muteris lashuk. Murba brings a brice in support of what Rava just said. Tanya Bosi the Rava. The brice says, Hakonis Yivimto. The person does Yibim with his Yivama, Shimon does Yibim with Racha, Vinimtim Mubaris, and it turns out afterwards that she was found to be pregnant. So Harezu lo sinase tsarasa. So the tsara of Racha, the other co-wife of the dead husband, Reuven, is not allowed to go and marry Muteris Lashuk. Why? Shema Yehi Vlad Ben Kayama, because maybe this child will be a Ben Kayama, Ben Biyava Chalitza Poteris Ella Vlad Poter. Because in this situation, it's not the Biyo or the Chalitza that exempts her, it's the fact that there's a Vlad Shuk Kayama. Vlad in Potra Achietze Labir Olam. And this Vlad only works, so to say, to Pater from Yibim Chalitza when he comes into the world. Oh, this Bryce, this is exactly what Rova said. Now, this is also a kasha, therefore, on Rish Lakish. Taima, the reasoning that's brought down in this brisa, is Shemo Yehi Vlad Ben Kayamu. Maybe this will be a Vlad that will be a Vlad Shavakayama. And implication being, Halo have a Vlad Ben Kayama, Miftat Sarasa. If it wasn't a Vlad Shavakayama, so then, in fact, the Yibam that was done, Pater the Tzara. But this would be a kasha on Rish Lakish, Leimot Tevi Tiyota, the Rish Lakish, who says that the Bia, or the chalitza that's done while she's pregnant doesn't work. But here it seems to imply that it does work. It's only the fact that it's maybe a vlad shel kayama that we ask you to wait. But if it had not been a vlad shel kayama, the implication would be that the bia or the yibam would be good. Kasha on Rish Lakish. So Amalei Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish would respond. He says, no. Hachi Tani, this is what we have to read the Braisa. Hakon esivim tov and imtseis muberes. If you a person, Shimon does Yibam with his Yavama, Rachel, and it turns out that she's pregnant. So the Tzara is not allowed to go get married in that situation. Why? Shema lo yehei havlad ben kayama, because maybe this child will not be a vlad shel kayama, and then in retrospect, the chalitza on a muberes is lo shmo chalitza, and likewise, ubias muberes lo shmo bia, and that's why she can't go get married. Aye, vim you're going to tell me, vim tomar holech acha rob noshim, Rob Doshim Vlad Ma'ayu Yaldun, the majority of women are going to have Baruch Hashem Bli Ein Hara, a healthy child, and therefore, why don't we say that over here? And he says, no, even if you were to say that, follow this robe. The robe doesn't work over here until the child is born. Vladi and Poter actually ate Silavir Olam. Even though there's a robe that you'll have a healthy child, but the healthy child himself only or herself is only what makes the woman now muteris. The fact that you're pregnant, even though it's likely to lead to a healthy child, isn't what paters the tzara or the other wife. It, in fact, is only the child coming into the world. When the child, the zavlat shel kayama, is born, at that point in time, the ptur exists. Now, we're still in the middle of this sugya, but there's a good break point with this we conclude today's shir.